Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties? The Homeworks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Go Bears! What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, June 17th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a great Tuesday. The worst day of the week is over. But hopefully you enjoyed Tuesday in part because I was on the morning show with our good buddy, our best friend, James. So that is in the feed. Check it out if you haven't listened to it yet. And what did we talk about? What else would we talk about? Jalen Hurts and the Joe Santoliquillo article that came out. So we did a lot of talk about Jalen, what the team feels about him, what he feels about the team, if they've backed him up enough. So we did a lot of different Eagles things. In addition, James revealed his top 11. I revealed my top 11 yesterday on the afternoon show. Probably going to put that in the podcast feed as well. But come on, Jalen Hurts, number one on my list. And I think the best way I could explain it, as I sat down and I did the list, right? And I'm thinking about how do you kind of separate these elite athletes, right? Like Quinyon, Christopher Sanchez, Jalen Hurts. Like, how do you go about that, right? I think there's something to be said for the fact that if all the Philadelphia athletes walked into a room, only Jalen, I think, walks in with the resume he has. And I think Jalen walking into the room walks in as the top dog. Like, I think in when it comes to Philly sports, Jalen's that guy. I think, like, Saquon has that about him. I think, you know, Bryce has that about him. But Jalen has a Super Bowl, and Jalen's been to two. And I think at the end of the day, when it comes to pressure in this city, nobody wears a heavier crown than Jalen. And I think because of that, it has to be taken into consideration when you're talking about how he's viewed. So I think Jalen's a top dog in the city. I'm sure, you know, there'll be some discrepancy on if that's best, whatever. I just know one thing. When I was making that list, it would have felt weird not putting Jalen at number one. So that's what I did. So you can hear more rationale and me argue with Spike, Ike, and Fritz about it. And that'll be in the feed. But top 11 week, always fun. Yeah, I put Joe DeCamara 12. Joe DeCamara won one of the biggest Philadelphia athletic competitions of the year. He definitely deserves to be on it. So not just outside my top 11, but having my top 12. So we got a lot to get into today. The Eagles have signed a wide receiver, their old wide receiver, AJ Brown. Interesting move on Instagram that had me updating my app and studying how he did it. And then a long article was written about Nick Sirianni. So we'll get into that. And finally, an interesting Pro Football Focus stat here that I think, like, I was stunned by it. So we'll get into that. And of course, it's related to Jalen Hurts. But before we get into all that, go check out Go Birds Insider. The link is in the podcast description. Come join our Go Birds family. Become a real one. Become an auto downloader. Become an insider. Come hang out in the chat with me. We got a soccer chat going now. We're calling it Goal Birds. Feel like that's pretty good. Shout out to Tucker. He thought of it. So always fun to log into the chat when I'm bored during the day or when I want to talk Eagles and have somebody to talk to. So check that out and come join the community. All right, so first, the Eagles did make a roster move on Tuesday, signing wide receiver Eric Ezukoma, I think is how you pronounce it. That is the phonetic breakdown of it appears. So Eric Ezukoma was a Dolphins fourth round pick in 2022. He's 6'2", 210 pounds, spent 3 years in the NFL, was last in the NFL in 2024. He's only ever played 57 snaps in the NFL. He has 4 catches and 5 rushing attempts in his career. But went to the UFL, played for the DC Defenders, had 19 catches for 263 yards in 12 games, and 24 kickoffs for a 26 yard per game average. So, and those last stats are according to Bleeding Green Nation. Look, I think he's a roster tryout, right? Like, obviously, it's a long shot to make the team. Maybe he can be a practice squad guy. But I do like players that were in the NFL, went to the UFL, and find their way back in, right? Like, I think it's a reminder that they have the talent to be in the NFL. It's about finding the right spot. It's about having a good week of practice at the right time. But if he can be in the NFL for 3 years, then go to the UFL and then, like, get enough, play well enough and show enough to come back, I like that in a player. So we'll see how he plays. Again, I think practice squad is his ceiling, but we'll have training camp observations about him when camp begins. So speaking of Eagles receivers, a certain Patriots receiver that has a tie to the Eagles, AJ Brown, made an interesting decision on Instagram recently. I don't know when it happened, but it was all over Twitter. First, it was AJ deleted his thank you post to Eagles fans. Because when you look, it's not up near the top anymore, right? And so then someone highlighted, I forget who it was, it was actually lower down. So apparently on Instagram now, you can take a post and move it like down. So, you know, obviously Instagram, for those who don't use it, like James, when you post things, they show up in chronological order. So the most recent thing you posted is the first post, unless you have pinned posts, but that's a whole different thing. So basically, you know, AJ's posted a few times, I think, since the Patriots traded for him, but his thank you note was pretty high up to Eagles fans. He's moved it all the way to the bottom, like not all the way to the bottom, but like halfway. And what's weird is it's behind other Eagles posts. Like, it's not like he moved all his Eagle stuff down. It was just the thank you post. So could he have done it accidentally? Maybe. Could someone else have done it? Sure, maybe. But at the end of the day, it's like, A, so I think A, it shows he still cares. B, it shows that he is hearing everything people are saying. This is not going to be popular. But C, I understand it, right? Like, I think if you're AJ, you probably feel hurt about, if you're online, if you're reading all the comments about what people are saying about you, right? It was, you leak stuff about Jalen, you, whatever happened with him and Hassan Reddick, like, he's a bad guy, bad teammate, loser, not welcome. You know what I mean? Like, I get if you're AJ, why you would not like to read that about yourself and feel burned by Philly fans. Now I would say to AJ, like, you're the one that wanted out. You had to know that this was going to be the reaction. But moving the thank you note further down the Instagram post is, the Instagram grid is, I mean, that's top level, like, that's reality show stuff, right? Like, that's like, you hear your ex does it, or you hear on the, you know, Summer House that, like, this, you know, it's top notch content. But not surprised he did it. And very, very on par for him in terms of, like, trying to send messages cryptically through social media. Again, maybe it was an accident, maybe he didn't do it, but it was moved. Like, it was definitely moved down, which is surprising. I had to update my Instagram to even find out you could do that. So I guess apparently you can. All right, so back to the current Eagles. Mike Silver, longtime NFL reporter, columnist, wrote an article for The Athletic that came out on Tuesday, and it was an in-depth preview of Nick Sirianni. So basically, he followed Nick around, it seems like, for a few days. And I thought there were a few core passages in there that I wanted to read and just kind of give you my thoughts. So the article starts, and you should read the whole thing, but the article starts with Nick at the Eagles playground build, which was, I think, about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago at this point. And he's walking around, and Mike Silver writes that Nick yells to someone. So he sees someone in a Panthers shirt, right? So first of all, the guy's being a little trolly, wearing a Panthers shirt to an Eagles playground build. You know, he's probably a Panthers fan. It was like, I'm going to wear it, whatever. And Nick yells, "That's the shirt you decided to wear today?" Then Nick adds quietly, according to Silver, "Bozo." And then he says to Mike Silver, "See, that's a type of interaction I need to avoid." So it's a good kind of sign of Nick, like, playfully trolling a guy about the shirt he's wearing, like, playfully trolling in the way that he's kidding when he's not kidding. Probably not, you know, a good idea to poke at a guy about it just because you don't know how people react. And then immediately saying, like, yeah, probably didn't need to do that. But it also is who Nick is. And that's really the core of the story. Mike Silver has a line that I think does, like, pretty well describe Nick. And Mike Silver writes, "In his heart, Nick would rather be called unhinged than fake." And that's so true to me. Like, Nick, I think, knows when he does things that he shouldn't do. And I'd forgot about all the different incidents. Like, Mike Silver writes, you know, breaks them all down. The sideline jawing match with 49ers linebacker Dre Greenlaw. The postgame spat with Washington Commander tight end Zach Ertz. The mouthing off to officials after leaving the sideline box to call a timeout, where he says, "I know what the F I'm doing." The tirade against then New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh after a late hit in a preseason game, the trash talk to a Philly fan behind the team's bench after a home victory. And I would add, while it didn't get, like, criticism, the crying on the field, yelling at Colts fans after the Eagles beat the Colts in 2021 and after they had just fired Frank Reich, like, and then basically having to be carried in the locker room. He was so emotional about it. So Nick is always somebody that is put his emotions on his sleeves. He has always been somebody that I think at times does things he regrets, but I also think it's who he is. And that line, "He would rather be called unhinged than fake," players seem to like that. There's a lot of quotes from the article of players being like, it's who he is. He's like that all the time. It's like that at practice. He's like that in meetings. And so we know he's real, and we know that he cares. And Saquon Barkley is quoted and it is saying, "If you don't know Nick Sirianni, it's easy not to like Nick Sirianni." And he's, you know, says, and Nick, Saquon said this before about when he was with the Giants, he thought, you know, Nick was annoying, to kind of paraphrase what he said. But then you get in the building and the players really do like Nick. And Barkley says this, quote, "He doesn't get enough credit at all, in my opinion. I don't get why he doesn't. Like, what he's doing in real time is legendary," end quote. And that's true. Last year when I was in Green Bay, I remember walking by the Vince Lombardi statue, and I'm not saying Nick is Vince Lombardi, obviously, but it makes you think about the history of football. It makes you think about historic things coaches have done. And when you look at Nick through his first 5 years at this point, I guess 21, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, this will be his sixth year. If you look at what Nick has done in his career, not many coaches have accomplished it. And the coaches that have are all legendary coaches. So the article is interesting because it kind of paints a picture of someone who, very emotional, does things that nobody kind of likes, or at least, like, on the outside, but is such an unbelievable resume. You almost have to respect it. And one rival NFL head coach is quoted by Mike Silver in here, so going, "Could anyone be more perfect for Philly? He goes nuts. He loses his mind just like the Eagles fans do." And it's true. Like, I, you know, there was on Monday, Nick was at the Phillies game with his family, and it was his birthday. And he was sitting in the upper deck in the seats, like, just like a casual fan. I mean, think about that, right? Like, he could get a box. He could get seats right below, right behind home plate, right next to first base. Like, he could sit anywhere he wanted in that stadium. And he sat in the upper deck with the fans. Like, I, you know, Tucker actually said he saw Nick. And it was, I was like, where are you at where you're seeing Nick? And he's like, I'm in the upper deck. And Nick was just like walking around with his family. So I think stuff like that is cool. I do think like there'll never be a head coach that's more Philly than Nick is, right? The way he talks, the way he dresses, the competitiveness, the poking fun, the trolling, and just a genuine love for sports. So another part of the article goes into the interview that Nick Sirianni had when he was hired as a head coach. And this passage I thought was pretty telling, like in a couple ways. So I'll read it to you guys. Quote, "That night, Sirianni borrowed a niece's or nephew's glittery pencil with a cartoon animal eraser, found a blank 11 by 14 piece of paper that resembled the call sheet he used on game days, and jotted down some thoughts. The next morning, he stuck the folded paper into the pocket of his shorts, threw on a golf shirt, slipped into boat shoes with no socks, and headed north in a rented minivan. He was nervous as he approached the property. The welcome was not what he expected. Someone who worked for Mr. Lurie answered the door," Sirianni recalls. "He thought it was the nurse who was there to do the COVID testing," end quote. So it then goes on to say how Nick blew them away. He didn't even use the piece of paper that he had prepared. And I feel like that described Nick. That does describe Nick in a lot of ways. A, he loves to take notes. He loves to make lists. He's always prepared, even on this kind of short notice. He's writing things down. He's being prepared. And then he's just kind of himself in the interview. Like, he doesn't read it. He wins them over. I do think Nick is very good at winning over a room. Players will tell you that about how good his meetings are. And then there's the part where the person at the door didn't even know who he was. And I think even though he's become very famous, obviously, in Philly, I still think that, like, nationally, he probably doesn't get the respect he deserves. And there was a passage in there where, you know, what won Lurie over about Sirianni, and what's mentioned in there and what's written is, quote, "Lurie was especially moved by Sirianni's motivating force, a lifelong mission to make his father proud." That's pretty cool, right? And, like, I think back to where Jeffrey says when he hires him, you know, "We're hiring you for the coach you can become, not the coach you are right now." And I think Lurie has lived through some of those growing pains. There's a quote in the story where Jeffrey Lurie says, quote, "Without," and he's talking about like his attitude, his emotions, "without it, he isn't as good. And occasionally with it, he's not quite as good as he can be, but it's a good trade-off," end quote. I can just picture Jeffrey saying that. And I think that's how they feel. I think that they know Nick has flaws, but I think they know the good outweighs the bad. You could kind of make that argument with Jalen. I don't know if they'd feel that way with Jalen, but I think, you know, both Nick and Jalen have flaws, but both of them win at such a rate, you can't ignore the positive. So there was also a part in there where it talks about Nick and how like he embraces player development. I think that's very true. I think the team has become a much better developmental team since Nick has gotten there. He's been really good at developing players. So there's a cool part in that. A front office person with the Eagles is quoted, and he does it anonymously. And he says in there, let me get it. "It's always fourth and one with the Eagles. We're just a pressure cooker. It's a high-stress place that demands excellence. It's easy to think Nick's a douchebag and he doesn't help himself, but he's not the meathead everyone thinks he is. He's super inquisitive and he's open to learning," end quote. I agree with that too. Like, I've always said that I think Nick doesn't get enough credit for fixing the Eagles offense in 21 when he switched completely to what he was doing to help the offense. And in 24, when they went from a team that was going to try all these things on offense to a run first team. Q 2026, we'll see what happens. But I don't think Nick gets credit. Now, he's not always been able to fix it. In 23, he couldn't fix it. In 25, he steadied the ship. It didn't collapse, but he also didn't fix it. So I think that is true, that like he's just not the meathead everyone thinks he is. You don't have that level of success without being a great head coach. So the two quotes to me that I think have the biggest takeaways moving forward. One is from defensive line coach Clint Hurt, and he says, quote, "A lot of coaches come from these coaching trees, and they're hired because people want a piece of that guy. And when they try to be that guy, it doesn't work because they haven't figured out who they are yet. Nick knows who he is, end quote. So why do you think that quote would be noteworthy to me? Because they hired Sean Mannion because they wanted a piece of a system. They hired Sean Mannion because they want to run something they see other teams doing. And it'll be up to Sean Mannion and Nick to together put an offense together that's unique and to not just try to be a carbon copy of other offenses they've seen. So when I read that quote, my initial thought was like, this is exactly why you're hesitant about the Sean Mannion hire. A lot of coaches come from these coaching trees. What have we talked about with Mannion? All of we talked about is his coaching trees. And they're hired because they want a piece of that guy. And when they try to be that guy, it doesn't work because they haven't figured out who they are yet, end quote. And then he says Nick knows who he is. And it's so true. Like Nick might not have an offense everyone wants to duplicate. Nick might not, you know, do things that are aesthetically pleasing on Sunday. But man, he wins all the time and he wins more than a lot of the coaches that people try to emulate. Now, here's the other part that I found concerning. And that part was obviously about Mannion concerning, about Nick not so much. It's Nick's brother. Nick's oldest brother, Mike, says, "What you see is what you get. That's what I'm most proud about with him. He hasn't changed," end quote. And there is something admirable about not changing when you come into a ton of success, right? And I think Nick has changed. He's matured in some ways. He's better at certain things. So I'm not acting like he hasn't changed. But I also think when you're at one place for a long time, you have to have new messaging. You have to do things differently. People can only hear the same five core values so many times. They can only hear you emphasize something so many times before it starts to lose its luster. I think Nick is reaching a point in his career where he has to kind of evolve and enter the next phase. As much as we talk about Jalen having to change his game, I think the way Nick has to change is more subtle, right? It's in the messaging. It's keeping things fresh. And I think that's something Nick will have to work on, right? When people heard Sean Mannion talk this year, I think there was so much praise for it. A, because he did a good job, but B, because it was new and it was fresh and it was like a new face to have hope in, right? And I think Nick and Jalen sometimes don't benefit from their past success. Sometimes it hurts them because people have so much bad memories as well. They carry luggage with them. Sean Mannion doesn't do that. So I do think that the next challenge for Nick will be proving that he can evolve, proving he can do things differently. And if he can, he could definitely be here for another 5, 6, 7 years. But I think as much as we talk about it being a big year for Jalen, it's a big year for Nick as well. And how he handles this year, how things look different, how the messaging goes over will be really important. So really good article from Mike Silver. I'll definitely suggest reading it. There was stuff in there I didn't talk about. And it's always fun to read about players or coaches on your favorite team. All right. On the other side, there was another article that had a stat about which quarterbacks get the most help. And I was surprised to see where Jalen was at. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Okay, so I was scrolling through X a few days ago, and I saw a link to a story that I found interesting. And it was one of those things where I clicked on it and I expected to hear one thing, and actually it said something completely different. So the article was from Pro Football Focus, and it was breaking down which quarterbacks in the NFL got the most help from their supporting cast last year. Obviously, when I saw that headline, my interest was piqued because everyone always says Jalen gets a ton of help, right? So when I opened it, it listed the teams, the quarterbacks, I should say, that got the most help from their team overall, that got the most help from their receiving core, got the most help from their rushing game, and got the most help from their pass blocking. And wouldn't you know it, Jalen Hurts was not in the top eight. They only listed the top eight for each category. In total help, total help from the receiving team, help from the rushing game, and he was in the top of the passing game. I was surprised by that. So the top eight quarterbacks who got the most help in 2025, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, the Colts, who had a bunch of different quarterbacks in there. So Daniel Jones, 49ers with Brock Purdy and Mac Jones, Caleb Williams, Josh Allen, and Drake May. So that's surprising because what you hear is, Josh Allen doesn't get the help Jalen gets. Drake May doesn't get the help that Jalen gets. According to Pro Football Focus, so just one opinion, Jalen didn't get the help you would think from his other offensive players in 2025. And I've said a few times, I think Jalen was the best player on the offense in 2025. Now, you can say that's not great, but he was still, I think, the best player. Now, he had the most to do with their failures and the most to do with their success because that's the life of a quarterback. But this was interesting. In 2025, Sam Darnold was assisted by an even higher graded supporting cast than Hurts was with the Eagles in 2024. Yeah, Jaxon Smith-Njigba was obviously awesome. They had a great running game. So like maybe not that different, but I do think that like Darnold got a ton of help too. Now, this one was surprising too. The top eight receiving teams in terms of the teams that got the quarterback that got the most help from their receivers. The Rams, the Seahawks, the Lions, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Niners, the Packers, and the Bengals. Not listed there, the Eagles, right? So I think AJ had a down year, and I was talking to someone about this, and they made a good point. It could be Jalen's, poor play at times impacted the receiving grades, right? Like maybe a receiver was open, Jalen doesn't throw it, so that doesn't come across as like a receiver helping, but it's also Jalen like hurting the receiving grades, which could definitely be true, but I thought it was interesting. Like AJ didn't have a great year. And as much as we talk about Devontae having a great year, they didn't make the top eight receiving duos in terms of who helped their quarterback. Rushing, no surprise Jalen didn't get help there, right? They had a really bad rushing game. The offensive line was bad from a blocking perspective. And Saquon Barkley didn't have a good year. The pass blocking is interesting. So the Eagles finished fourth in that behind the Broncos, Colts, Steelers, and the Eagles finished there at fourth. I was asked, I forget who asked it to me, but I was on the radio and someone said, why is it that you crush Saquon for not having a good year behind a bad line, but you don't crush Jalen, right? Well, I think part of it is they were a better pass blocking line. So, Jalen in that regard, like got good protection, I think, from a pass blocking line. And I think with Saquon, it more has to do with he's a running back that has a lot of touches on his body over the last 2 years. And I'm skeptical he'll be able to bounce back. Now, he will. Like, who knows, right? Maybe he'll be able to. Maybe I'll be wrong, and I'll certainly admit if I am. But I do think one thing that's definitely fair is Jalen got good pass blocking last year, and he did not make the most of it at times. So overall, just thought that was interesting that when you look at the quarterbacks that got the most help last year, Jalen was not on that list. For as much as we view it as him having all these weapons, they weren't very helpful to him last year. All right, that'll do it for today's Daily Go Birds. Go out, enjoy your Wednesday. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.